Yes, you've got the right show. Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm the host of Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy heard every Friday night here on KCRW. And the reason I'm using this song tonight is because tonight's show does deal with the birds and the bees, that wonderful moment when we ask Mommy and Daddy where we came from, or when Mommy and Daddy take us aside and tell us where we came from. And if you were a kid and you don't yet know the answer to these questions, I don't think you'll get them here tonight. But if you're a parent and you're about to face that situation, you'll probably hear a lot of things to avoid coming up in the next half hour or so. We'll be hearing from Marty Feldman, Shelley Berman, Jonathan Winters, Peter Cook, and Dudley Moore. And I don't know, whatever else is lying around that is relevant to the theme. So let's get right on with it with a wonderful piece from a television program done by Marty Feldman. And the show was called Marty, and the piece is called Father and Son.
Sit down, son. Now, you and I have always been very close. And for that reason, I thought I could talk to you frankly as man to man.
Yes, Dad.
Well, the other night, your mother.
Yes,
Dad. Your mother and I got to talking, and we decided that the time had come for us, that is me, to explain certain things to you.
Things, Dad?
Yes, I mean, where you come from and that.
Oh.
Yes, that, yes. I mean, you weren't just hatched, you know, son.
I know that.
Although, in a manner of speaking, for want of a better word, you were hatched. Yes. How old are you then, son?
31, Dad.
Yes. Well, perhaps you are a bit young to hear the facts about... No, I suppose I'd better get it over with then, yes.
Dad.
Well, many years ago, your mother.
Yes.
Your mother and I were alone in what might best be described as a bedroom. A bedroom containing, for want of a better word, a bed. Yes? You follow me? Yes,
Dad.
Yes, well... Having nothing better to do, as it were, for want of a better word, your mother took off and got into the... Yes, but while I, in a state of nervousness, and I stood at the foot of the... Yes, and I took off my dressing gown, yes, leaving myself absolutely nude. Leaving myself absolutely nude. Absolutely. Yes.
Can I get you anything, Dad?
No, I'll be all right. I'll be all right in a moment, yes. Now, where was I then?
Well, you were stood there absolutely...
Yes, I was, son. I admit it. Absolutely, yes. So, I pulled back the covers on the...
bed.
Don't talk smack! Filth and smack!
Oh, sorry, Dad.
Yes. I pulled back the covers on the... what you said. And I climbed into the... with your... And then she... as a result of which, 9 months later, there you was. Oh, well, does that explain everything, son?
Well, yes, Dad, except... What happened between the time you and Mother...
Oh, yes.
And I, 9 months...
Well, yes, son. Well, we, Oh, good. I'll be the first to tell you when you're older, son. Don't worry. Well, Does that explain everything, then? I mean, if you ever want to come and have a chat, don't be afraid to come to your dear old dad.
Well, Dad, there was something I wanted to tell you.
What?
I got this girl into trouble, see?
You what?
Pregnant, Dad.
Hello. Hello, Midget. Midget? Hi. It's me. Your father. What do you mean, who? It's your father. You recognize my voice? You've been living with me for 15 years. Annie, I am on the office phone. I've told you 100 times when you're talking to me on the office phone, you call me Daddy, you call me Father, but you don't call me Goof Boy. You understand? Nobody's listening, but they may overhear it, and it just sounds ridiculous to have a kid calling me Goof Boy. That isn't right. All right. Call me Daddy. All right. Annie, reason I'm calling up, honey, I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to get home before you leave tonight. Well, yeah, your mother called me this afternoon and told me about it. Are you happy? Your first date. 15 years old, your first date. Thrilled? So am I. Congratulations. Wonderful. I thought it would never happen. I'm just teasing you, honey. I knew it was going to happen. I just was all excited about it. Your first big date. You thrilled? Yeah, with a boy? No, I know it's with a boy. I know. No. Don't misunderstand. I know it. I just thought it was with a crowd or something instead of... It's just one fella, huh? Going in a car. And is there another couple going along? Well, can you get another couple go along? Have you tried to get another couple? I think you'd have more fun if another couple was along, if you could arrange it. Well, that's all right. Annie, I'm not going to be able to get home tonight because I'm stuck here at the office, and your mother called me, told me all about this thing, and I just want to wish you well. It's your first big evening, and I'd like to be there, and I'm sorry, honey, but there's something I want to talk to you about, Annie. Shame it has to be on the phone, but... It's a little something I should have talked to you about a few years back. Actually, your mother should have talked to you about this this subject, but she doesn't believe in it. Never mind what I mean. You'll learn. All right, now, Annie... Here's the thing. Now, don't rush me, honey. Now, I'm trying to think of a right way to say this. Clean. You're going out with a boy. Annie, boys and girls are different. I know you know, but I'm not talking about what you learn in school, honey. I'm not talking about boy grasshoppers and girl grasshoppers. I'm talking about people. A young boy is rotten. That's what he is. Rotten. Yes, I was, and I was rotten clear through to the core. Do I know? All right. I don't mean he's rotten. It's just that he has certain feelings, and everybody else has to have them as far as he's concerned, you see. Now, you're going to be together in a car. Annie... A car is a kind of a intimate enclosure, and it's a kind of a motel room on wheels, you see. Well, now, don't ask me to be specific. You'll learn in time what I'm talking about. Now, this boy is... And if I'm saying this crudely... If I'm saying this in a stupid, crude way, I'm sorry. Now, I'm just a businessman. I don't know from nothing, but you're my kid. And I want to talk to you about this. And if I'm embarrassing you, for Pete's sakes, try to forget it. You're a big girl. You're 15. You're not a baby. If you were in India, you'd be a mother by now. Of course, a lot of girls in Chicago think they're in India. This kid is... He's gonna spend some money on you. He's gonna buy you a corsage, and he's gonna feed you, incidentally, just a malted milk and a bacon lettuce tomato sandwich. Don't be a pig like you are with me, understand? All right. Eat easy. No, he's gonna spend a few dollars, and it's hard-earned money, or it's his allowance, or who are you going with? Oh, him. Well, in his case, he's been risking his neck all week stealing hubcaps, hasn't he? All right. So it's gonna cost him a few dollars. He's entitled. Well, never mind what he's entitled to, I'll tell you. He thinks he's entitled to more, but I'm gonna tell you what. When he takes you home, Annie, stops in front of the door, he's gonna wanna kiss you goodnight. Now, I'm gonna give you an order. You come across, you understand? You give him the kiss. No head turning at the last minute. No sweating, no blushing. Give him the kiss. All right? That's his business. The second kiss, Annie, that's your business. The third kiss, my business. All right, now, Annie, I'm sorry if I've said the wrong things to you at any time, because I don't want to embarrass a young lady, and you are, and you probably know all about this, and I just want to make sure in case there was a little spot you missed when you cleaned the window. I just want to be there to say it. And, Annie, I'm not going to worry about you. Your mother and I are not going to worry about you. I'm not even going to set a time for you to come home. I'll tell you to come home at a reasonable hour, but you be the decider of that. That's all I'm going to say. We're not going to worry. You go out and relax and have a good time. When you get home, look for me. I'll be in the window. Goodbye.
Is that you, Roger?
Yes, Father.
There's a cup of tea in here for you, if you'd like one.
It's very kind of you, sir, but I've just come in from Raga, and I'm a bit grubby. I think I ought to go and have a shower first, sir.
Well, pour me a cup. There's a good chap, would you?
Certainly, sir. Yes, of course.
Thank you. How was school today?
Oh, much as usual, thank you, sir, but I caught someone having a crafty smoke behind the wooden buildings. Had to give him rather a ticking off. Such a filthy habit, you know, sir.
It's a filthy habit, Roger.
Yes. There we are, sir. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Roger?
Yes, sir?
Sit down. Roger, your mother and I were having a bit of a chat the other day, and she thought it might be a good idea if I was to have a bit of a chat with you.
A bit of a chat, sir?
A bit of a chat, yes, Roger, just... a bit of a chat.
What about, sir?
Well, there's nothing to be worried about, Roger. It's just that, well, to be perfectly frank, how old are you?
Well, to be perfectly frank, sir, I'm coming up to 18.
Just coming up to 18?
Well, on the verge.
On the verge of 18. Yes, well, I thought it might be a good idea to have a bit of a chat now, because I remember from my own experience that it was when I was just, you know, coming up to 18.
On the verge.
On the verge of it. That I first began to take a serious interest in the opposite number. Now, I don't know, Roger, if you know anything about the method whereby you came to be brought about.
Well, sir, some of the boys at school say very filthy things about it, sir.
This is what I was worried about, and this is why I thought I'd have a bit of a chat and explain absolutely frankly and openly the method whereby you and everybody in this world came to be. Roger, In order for you to be brought about, it was necessary for your mother and I to do something. In particular, it was necessary for your mother to sit on a chair. To sit on a chair which I had recently vacated and which was still warm from my body. And then something very mysterious, rather wonderful and beautiful happened. And sure enough, 4 years later, you were born. Now, there's nothing unhealthy about this, Roger. There's nothing unnatural. It's a beautiful thing in the right hands, and there's no need to think less of your mother because of it. She had to do it, she did it, and here you are.
Well, sir, it's very kind of you to tell me. One thing actually slightly alarms me. I was sitting in this very chair yesterday, sir, and I vacated it, and the cat sat on it while it was still warm. And should we have it destroyed?
It's a lovely chair, Roger.
Cat, sir.
Destroy it? No, no, Roger, you don't understand. This thing of which I speak can only happen between two people who are married. And you're not married.
Not yet anyway, sir.
Not to the cat in any case. Well, Roger, now you have this knowledge about chairs and warmth, I hope you'll use it wisely.
Sir.
And take no notice of your school friends or what Uncle Bertie may say.
Dirty Uncle Bertie, they call him.
Dirty Uncle Bertie, and they're right, Roger. Your Uncle Bertie is a dirty, dirty man. He's been living with us now for 40 years, and it does seem a day too much. You know, if it hadn't been for your mother, Roger, I don't know where we'd have been. She's the only person who can really cope with Uncle Bertie. She's the only one who can really deal with him. I don't know if you realize this, Roger, but your mother even has to sleep in the same bed as Uncle Bertie to prevent him getting up to anything in the night. If only there were more people like your mother, Roger.
Well, I'm very pleased that you told me this, sir, because, as I say, I'm very glad I don't have to believe all those filthy things that the boys at school say. And only yesterday, Uncle Bertie said to me...
Take no notice of Uncle Bertie, Roger. He's a sick, sick man, and we should feel sorry for him.
Well, I'll try, sir. Well, thank you, sir. I wonder if I should take a cup of tea up to Mother while it's still...
I wouldn't do that, Roger. She's upstairs at the moment, coping with Uncle Bertie.
Poor Uncle Bertie.
Poor Uncle Bertie.
Now, for the purposes of reviewing, who can give me a definition, the meaning of the word hygiene? Howard?
Bodily functions.
Very good. All right. Now, Kevin, can you be more explicit on that?
Clean.
Clean. Diane?
Yes, it's a method we use so we don't become diseased.
Ill. Ill is the word, Diane. Now, we're going to take a new subject today, the subject of reproduction or how we come to be.
Oh boy. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, I wonder who can tell me what we mean by the word reproduction. Kevin?
Born.
Born, very good. Diane?
Baby.
Baby, born. Howard?
I agree.
All right, Howard. Now, I wonder who can tell me what we mean when we say how we come to be.
Oh,
Diane?
Yes. Well, there's a man and a woman, and they live in this house, and they finish dinner, and they turn off the television set, and they go upstairs, and then they go to sleep.
All right, Diane. You see, Diane, you misunderstand the subject. The subject is reproduction, or how we come to be.
Oh yes.
Now, let's begin with the little fishes in the sea.
Oh, yeah, little fish.
The fish reproduce in the following manner. The female fish swims to a spawning place where she spawns. Yes, Diane, you have a question?
Yes, Miss Dudley, is spawning like going to sleep?
No, Diane. The fish is wide awake at all times. Now, after the female fish swims to the spawning place, she deposits her roe. and then she swims away.
Miss Dudley?
Yes, Kevin.
What's roe?
Roe is fish eggs. That's a good question. Roe, let's say it together now.
Roe.
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 Again.
Roe.
In unison.
Yeah. Roe your boat.
You started that, Kevin. I saw you. Don't encourage him.
Howard was singing.
I don't care.
Howard was singing. Howard was singing.
All right, people. All right, people. We'll continue now.
He always sings and I get blamed.
All right. To continue, after the female fish deposits her roe, a very wonderful thing happens.
Yeah.
The male fish swims over the roe and fertilizes the roe. Oh. Then he swims away.
Oh, Miss Dudley?
Yes, Kevin. Yeah.
How does that male fish, how does he fertilize all those roes?
That's a very intelligent question, Kevin. It's a very good... Yes, Howard?
The male fish... How does he fertilize all those rows?
All right, people. The male fish swims over the row and spills a fluid on the row. Now, this fluid contains... Spermatozoa. Then the roe grow up and become fish.
Yeah, they become fish.
Now, we learned a new word today, didn't we?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Roe.
No. I wonder who can tell me what that new word was. Diane?
Yes, spermatozoa.
Oh, yes,
correct. Yes, Howard?
Miss Dudley?
Yes.
The male fish... Does he fertilize only his wife's roes? Or does he just plunk any old roe?
Howard, the word is fertilize. Fertilize.
Does he fertilize any old roe?
Now, this is a very good point that Howard has brought up. You see, Howard, fish travel in groups called schools. So the male will only fertilize the roe of the female who is in the same school.
If he's in the same school, then he can fertilize the roe.
Correct.
Yeah, that's what happened to Harriet.
What happened to Harriet?
Georgie fertilized her roe. At the beach party.
All right now, I'm not going to tell you again. People, please.
All right.
All right now, Kevin, since you seem to be on the alert, I'm going to ask you for a summary, Kevin, a summary of all we've learned so far.
Well, the female fish.
Yes.
It swims to a spawning place, mm-hmm. and then it stays awake.
Yeah.
And then it deposits a whole lot of roes.
Yeah.
He swims away, see? And then the male fish. Mm-hmm. He swims over the roe. And he drops fertilizer on the roe.
Kevin.
What is he doing?
You're forgetting the new word we learned.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Roe. And
no.
The... Spermatozoa.
Howard has a question, yes.
How was I born?
That's a very good question, Howard.
My father can't swim. We don't even live near the beach.
All right, now, class, I want you to pay attention because Howard is mistaking the fish world with the mammal family.
How do mammals do it?
Now, this shows you've been paying attention, Kevin, mm-hmm. and it's an intelligent question. It shows a questioning mind,
yeah.
And I appreciate it.
How do mammals do it?
Well, let us begin with the chicken. I wonder who can tell me how the chickens come to be. Diane?
Yes, well, there are these chickens, and there's this hen house, and at the end of the day, when they get tired, they go into this hen
All
house.
All right, that's fine. Very good. Kevin, can you tell me how chickens come to be?
Yeah. The female chicken.
The hen.
The hen lays an egg.
The word and, is deposit.
Oh, the hen lays a deposit.
No, she doesn't do that.
The hen lays a row?
No, Kevin.
Well, what the heck does a hen lay?
Hen rows a leg. Oh. No, the hen lays a deposits an egg.
Oh, the hen.
Deposits an egg.
Deposits.
Yes, continue your thought.
An egg. And then the rooster.
That's right.
That's the male hen.
That's right. The male chicken, yes.
The male chicken is a rooster.
What does he do?
He comes over to the egg and he stands on top of it. And he spills spermatozoa all over the egg.
No, he doesn't do that, Kevin. Now, Kevin, I want all of you to pay attention. This is very important. The rooster fertilizes the egg before the hen deposits the egg.
Oh, that's how my father did it. He's not a fish.
All right, Robert. Yes, Kevin.
Well, listen, how does the rooster fertilize the egg?
Yes.
While it's still inside of the hen.
Well, that's a good
question. I know, Miss Dudley.
Never mind, Diane.
I mean, how does he get all that spermatozoa way up
inside? He'll get to that. Diane, will you shut up? Now, class, I want you to know you're all asking very good questions. Chickens and fish are different.
Oh.
You got that?
Yeah.
Now,
sure.
Chickens reproduce chickens by making physical contact.
Oh, yeah.
Is that clear?
Sure, yeah.
No, that's not clear.
It's clear, it's clear.
No, I'm afraid I've confused you a little bit.
No, my mother has a book.
With the words physical contact. All right, Kevin.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Now, please put your hand down, Diane.
Yeah, my mother has a book.
All right, forget about your mother's book. We are studying reproduction.
She keeps it in the bedroom there.
Kevin. All these very strange and mysterious things will suddenly become clear to you tomorrow.
I can bring in some pictures if
no
you
want. No, you can't bring in pictures, Kevin. Okay. You will understand these things tomorrow when we study reproduction in
already.
The mammal. Tomorrow, Kevin.
All right.
We'll sum up right now. Howard?
Fish gotta swim, birds gotta fly.
That will do, Howard. Kevin?
Spermatozoa.
All right, fine. Diane?
Well, fish and chickens have babies without ever going to sleep.
Class dismissed.
And there you have our show on the birds and the bees. We began with Marty Feldman, and then we heard... let me see. I had to cut out the Jonathan Winters piece because there wasn't enough time. I'm sorry about that. Shelley Berman from The Edge of Shelley Berman, a piece about a father and a daughter. And Peter Cook and Dudley Moore with a bit of a chat. And we closed with a very interesting piece from an album called The Sex Life of the Primate, which was created, written, and directed by Shelley Berman, featured Jerry Stiller, Ann Mira, and Lovelady Powell in addition to Shelley Berman. And that'll do it for this week's show. Next week's show is Woody Allen. If you've never heard his records, they are every bit as good as his films and in some ways even better. I'm also going to be playing some rare stuff of Woody Allen's. It's not on his commercially available records, so that should be a treat even if you've heard the records. Let's see. Also, 850 AM, KMDY, all comedy radio. If you live in the Conejo Valley or the West San Fernando Valley, you should be able to pick that up. And it's interesting. I recommend that you give it a listen. They're playing a lot of interesting comedy. That'll be it. The address, if you want to reach me, is Bob Claster, KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405. That's the best way to get a hold of me. And other than that, this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Good night, everybody.